The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Dr. Andrew Peak, former State Department, former NSC for the Trump administration, to comment on an article published in the Wall Street Journal on an op-ed with his colleague Rick Grenell about the administration as it goes forward in these tense negotiations with Russia over Ukraine. But really, there are much larger issues here about how the administration approaches diplomacy. Andrew, a very good evening to you. The first, and what you identify the most important shortfall, is that the administration treats diplomacy as an end in itself. Explain, please, Andrew. That's state language. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on. The point we are making, Rick and I, is that the Biden administration came into office with the perception that that it was the United States should be willing to pay to get back into the good graces, quote unquote, of Berlin, Paris, and other Western European states, which had been unhappy at times with the more transactional diplomacy practiced by the Trump administration. And thus, on issue after issue, we see the Biden administration essentially paying, using its own policy leverage to achieve agreement with the Europeans, but in doing so, they agree on the Europeans' position rather than pushing them to move closer to the U.S. Policy on Russia, for example, on allowing Ukraine to purchase weapons from NATO. These kind of things where U.S. and Western Europeans' perception of the threat differ.
Let's illustrate the difference. What is the new German government's opinion of the Ukraine struggle, given that they also have an opinion of Nord Stream 2 that seems to be at the center of the dispute as to whether or not Russia has leverage over Europe?
Right. It's a little discordant, right, that they continue with this Nord Stream 2 pipeline while at the same time urging cooperation on Russia. The new German government is headed by the Social Democrats, whose formative worldview with Russia is the Ostpolitik practiced by West German Chancellor Willy Brandt in the late 60s and early 70s, the kind of move away from Adenauer's solidarity with NATO to an opening to Russia, that they believe that would improve ties, improve the life for the people of Russia in the East, and lead to de-escalation. Whereas in the U.S. view, historically, and this is one of the theological disagreements in the Cold War, precisely the opposite was true. Pressure on Russia, tough negotiations, produces better life and more stability for everybody.
Another shortfall is deterrence. Now, deterrence usually indicates nuclear weapons. In this instance, the Biden administration has made it clear there will be no American troop deployment into Ukraine. But you point to Afghanistan as a much more telling story. How is it being interpreted in Europe and in Moscow?
You know, you cannot travel around the world without hearing Afghanistan mentioned. By our allies, it is mentioned with disappointment and unease. By our enemies, it is mentioned with glee. And it is not even the decision to move forward phasing out the U.S. troops. It is the appalling manner in which it was done. The people falling out of airplanes, the attack against the U.S. servicemen at Kabul airport, and the subsequent drone misfire. It is the culmination of that that has denuded the U.S. ability to ensure that our adversaries believe we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And such that even if you get to a point, John, where you say, well, don't go into Ukraine or else something might happen, we might do something, there's no reason Russia should believe that.
The question of Afghanistan will be with us for 100 years. So let's come back to where we are right now, which is Russia. Russia under Vladimir Putin, perhaps for the next decade, perhaps more. It's really unclear where Mr. Putin intends his presidency to go. But in any event, you and the former ambassador to Germany, Rick Grenell, say that the Biden administration is treating the negotiations with Russia on issue by issue, not comprehensively. We could really say this about how Russia's been approached since the end of the Soviet Union. There's always been one story, but never was there a comprehensive understanding of what Russia represents. And you know this very well, Dr. Andrew Peake, I heed to H.J. Mackinder. Russia is the pivot nation. It is the heartland of Eurasia. So that requires a comprehensive approach. Is it too late to start that 30 years after the fall of the Soviet Union?
You know, the Russians are very, very good diplomats, and they tend to be very good strategic thinkers. Their watchword is process. Lavrov, their foreign minister, has been in his job for perhaps 20 years. Ryabkov, who the Wendy Sherman's delegation met with on Monday, has been there something close to that, if not quite as long. They see American administrations come and go, and virtually every American administration says something like, we want to work with Russia where we can, and we will push back where we can't. Except that is precisely the opposite of what we should be doing. So what that means is Russia will pocket diplomatic concessions on things they feel that they are weak on, like strategic arms control, that things they don't want to pay to compete on. And then they will lean on us, as they're doing on Ukraine, where they have the competitive advantage. So you need to manage this as a holistic relationship, not as a few separate items.
And an ongoing relationship. I puzzle about whether there is a daily conversation. To your knowledge, Andrew, because you were part of state and part of NSC, would that benefit both sides for there to be a daily consultation, given the scale of these issues?
There would very much. And the trick is making sure it is high enough where actual strategic decisions can be made and it is not lost in the bureaucracy, because if it sinks into the bureaucracy, there will be no functional crisis management nor strategic policy affected. It has to be at the very high levels, and we've always found trouble figuring out what that level is.
Poland, number four, the Poles at the front line. They're so romantic, it's impossible not to get caught up in the legend of Poland in the bloodlands of the last century. Does the Biden administration approach Poland sympathetically?
I think neither the Biden administration nor many of the European states, particularly the EU, approach Poland sympathetically. I agree with you. It's an incredibly romantic story. It is this incredible tragedy of this people living on this basically European plain between bigger, stronger neighbors, at least more industrialized neighbors. That is subject to almost national extinguishment from time to time, like in the 19th century. The issue with Poland is that the EU takes great delight, and so does the Biden administration, by the way, in pointing out how the ruling PIS party, the more conservative party in Poland, has transgressed what they see as democratic norms, things like migration policy, which aren't really about democracy, but are about a basic social compact that are slightly to the right or a little bit more to the right of the dominant one in Brussels.
Poland comes right up against the migration story with the weaponization of migrants out of Belarus. We could see this, that the Poles were adamant, we will not be stepped on, but we have to come to the other player in all of this, which is Turkey. A very shadowy relationship between Turkey and Russia. The relationship between the Biden administration and Turkey is unclear to me. Is the Biden administration working with Mr. Erdogan on these multiple issues? Syria, for heaven's sakes, Eastern Mediterranean, Iran, and then there is the Black Sea Basin.
In the last month, I would say the Biden administration has come around to the view that we had virtually in the beginning in the last administration, which was that you have to work with Turkey and treat them as a large influential state. Erdogan can be a very, very rough character. He can be very nasty. However, he is nasty to Russia as well as right. when we give him the opportunity to be to the West. So he needs to be our guy being rough with the Russians rather than the Turkish guy being rough with us.
Never forget the Ottoman Empire, because Erdogan doesn't forget it. Dr. Andrew Peake, formerly of the U.S. State Department, formerly of the National Security Council, writing with his colleague Rick Grinnell, former ambassador to Germany from the United States in the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.